Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Bee Lee from the YMCA. You've been with Lake Forest for a while. How many of you ever were Bee Lee? The YMCA, you scared little children on Sunday mornings. That was hilarious. Hey, we're going to, as we start our sermon, our ushers are going to come forward. And this is the time when we pass around our jean pocket like this. And those of us who call Lake Forest home, we worship God with our tithes and offerings. And if you have a prayer request, this is the time to write it on this tear-off comment card, drop it in the jean pocket, and we will pray for you this week. Always, if you miss the jean pocket, you can put your prayer request or your offering in the treasure box right underneath that exit sign behind you. Hey, this is Love to the Power of 10. It's our six-week series. This is our focus on our future together as a church, in which we are saying, now that we've been in a bowling alley, and then we were in a skating rink, and then we were in the Lake Norman Davidson YMCA, and now we're here. And this is full of beautiful people. And it would be great if some of you would go back to the 8 o'clock service. You slept in because you weren't going to the Panthers game today, since it's away. There was plenty of space there. But now that this building is full of beautiful people, this is our way of saying we are not going to settle for playing church now in perpetuity, like has been the sick habit too many times of the Christian church. Hey, this is nice. Now let's just come in here. We got a church now. And some people, and I like these people. Let's just come and say nice things about God and greet each other and sing kumbaya and hold hands and think good thoughts about love and loving others and then go home. We will not play church at Lake Forest. And Love 10 is our way of saying, after the first 10, for the next 10, we're going to risk it. We're going to put our talents in play to love. And we're not in word only, not in thought and intention only, but in deed. And we will love one more person who's given up on church but not given up on God by making room and expanding this facility to its full capacity. An act of good stewardship of what we've already done. We're going to leverage this puppy so that hundreds more people of your friends who you just love and are hungry to know God can come here. We're going to also love not just one more person here on our campus. We're going to love the Lake Norman region by starting one more church that speaks of the hope of God through Jesus Christ somewhere in a 15 to 30 minute drive. We will start one new Lake Forest church in the year 2011. And we will love in action by loving one more neighborhood, a very close by neighborhood that not only has spiritual need like all of our neighborhoods, but has a good bit of physical need. And we will start a community and ministry center there as we build friendships. And we will start a micro business to provide job training and employment in that community. One more person, one more neighborhood, one more church. In order, we get to do this, to put our talents in play, right? Now, come to the Love to the 10 home meetings. I'm not going to say more details now on Sunday morning, but come to a Love 10 home meeting. You've gotten an invitation. They're listed in your bulletin and on the web, where you can do question and answer with me and Michael and Mitch about all these things, about how we're not going to play church for the next 3 years. We're going to risk what we have in order to say that we treasure Jesus Christ and His gospel so much that we're going to put it all in play so that others can share in the good news. So we're in this journey, this Love to the 10th Power journey for 6 weeks on Sunday morning. We spent the first 2 weeks saying this: God, everything that I have, all of my stuff, everything in my life is yours. And I say that, Lord, by putting it up on the table. My 401k, my golf game, my credit card, my car, my all kinds of stuff. My house key, I just put everything, Lord, on the table in order to say it's all yours. And have you done that? In the quietness of your heart. Have you literally envisioned yourself putting it all on the table as I have done it physically up here? To just say, God, I'm surrendered to you. I've even put myself, if I were a younger man, I'd be standing on that table going, I put myself on the table. But I'm not going to do that. I don't want a funniest home video moment to live in perpetuity. Lord, all that I am, I'm surrendered to you. And because of the timing of Love 10, God, I receive this from you. That I'm willing to re-examine the grip and the role of stuff and finances in my life to re-ask the question, what do I treasure most? Because that's what Jesus asks. is where my treasure is where my heart is. And last week, as countercultural followers of Jesus Christ, all that stuff we've put up on the table and said, God, it's yours, we ran it through the generosity matrix in the scriptures. And today we start the second part of our Love 10 journey, which is now listening. God, it's all on the table. My whole life is on the table. I'm playing hokey pokey with you, and I put my whole self in. It's right there. What would you have me do in my life as I'm surrendered to you? God, let me hear from you. Last week, I taught that when it comes to giving, the Holy Spirit will guide you. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've put your faith in Jesus, He, part of your salvation is that He's implanted the Holy Spirit of Christ in your spirit. And He will guide you as you seek the Spirit. Right? And which leads us to the question, well, how do I hear from the Spirit of God? How do I hear from the Spirit of God in my relationships? How would I hear what God might be saying to me in my work life? How would I hear what God might be saying to me about my entertainment, how I spend my free time? How would I hear what God might be saying to me about giving, about everything? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Some here, you just know for a fact, I have never, ever been clear that I've heard something from God. Some of us are like, maybe I have, maybe I haven't. It's something that has always been fuzzy to me. Right? Is that God's voice? Well, today, maybe some of us will hear from God very clearly. And hopefully all of us will get some fresh tools to help us understand what God is saying to us. And I wanted to do so, I want to look at one of the best stories in the Bible of what it means to hear from God. This story, this historical event is recorded for us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It occurred about the year 1000 BC. And the setting is there's a priest, a Jewish priest by the name of Eli. He's the spiritual guru of the nation of Israel. And he's set up in a sort of a temporary temple or tabernacle in a town called Shiloh. And this Eli, this old priest who spiritually leads the nation of Israel, has a protege priest, a young protege, serving with him named Samuel. Would you stand with me to honor the reading of God's word together? 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 6, together. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." You may be seated. This is the very moment when God begins to work and speak tangibly in Samuel's life. You may have heard of the Old Testament books, 1 and 2 Samuel, authored by and about Samuel. This is when God begins to intersect with Samuel's life and changes him forever. A lot of us, we're not sure what we would call ourselves. Some of us call ourselves Christians, growing followers of Jesus Christ. Some of us call ourselves seekers or inquirers. Some of us call ourselves agnostics, who are sort of open if God were to say something to me on a quest. But there's nothing that cements the fact that you actually know God like when you hear from God and then you actually act on what you've heard. Nothing cements a relationship with God like that. Now notice here, God is always a God of grace and gift. He always goes first. And here, God speaks first to Samuel. He says, "Hey, Samuel, Samuel, if you are here seeking to connect with the God who made you for the first time, you're here because He's already whispered your name. And you have responded just this much by even seeking Him out in worship. Proud of you for responding a bit. If you are here seeking to kickstart, restart your relationship with Jesus Christ and follow Him with your life after being distant from Him in a far country for a long time, the reason you're back is He's already spoken first. He's been wooing you with His Spirit and your spirit, saying, "Return to me, return to your first love." And here you are. He always speaks first. If you call Lake Forest Church home, if you're a ministry partner or a regular attender here, God is going first to all of us by the agenda of our church right now to speak to us about how the primary false god of our culture, money and possessions, relates to our following Jesus, drawing us for our heart to treasure the gospel above all. God is the great initiator in His love toward us. And only He can open the eyes of faith of a heart in the secret place to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Only He can do that, and He goes first to do so with Samuel in this passage. When your life, Christian, when your life or your words speak to others about the love of Jesus, you are participating in God's divine initiative of grace to that person. What a privilege, what an honor, how beautiful it is when I see you co-participating in the divine initiative the way I see so often here. So here's what Eli does, the old priest. He finally realizes, you know what's happening here? Samuel is hearing from God. God is initiating with Samuel, and Samuel's trying to figure out what the deal is. And Samuel's asking the same question that you and I are today. Our question is, how do you hear when God speaks? Three things, and here's the first one. You hear from God in silence, just like Samuel is hearing in this story. We need silence. And what Eli is going to do now is mentor spiritually his young brother, his young friend, Samuel. What many of us here do for one another in small pockets of community, in men's, women's community groups, in our student ministry that's up in the mountains right today. We mentor one another in how God is speaking. Why does he need to mentor Samuel? Well, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That's interesting, because Samuel is serving as an apprentice priest in the house of God at Shiloh. You know what this tells me. You and me, we can do a lot of religious things. We can do spiritual things like show up at Lake Forest. We can do anything we want, but there's nothing like the first time God reveals himself to you in the free initiative of his grace. When he actually speaks to you and you mark it by acknowledging his voice and doing something about it. And like Samuel in this passage, many of us here are doing some sort of religious and spiritual things. He's in a religious place here, but he hasn't yet heard from God, where he said, oh man, God has spoken, this is real, and I have now stepped out on his word to confirm it was really him. Because that's when you know it's God, is when you step out on it and you obey and you follow it, and then it's confirmed that it's something that is real and not just in my head. And so here's what Eli says to his young mentee, Samuel. He says, son, Samuel, I think I know what's happening with you because it's happened to me. This is what we do for each other in Christ-centered community. I think it's happened to me. Listen, if you get woken up again, Samuel, with someone calling your name, it just might be the Lord calling you. And what you say is, speak, Lord, your servant listens. He mentors him in the proper response. When you think you've heard, for in whatever way, whatever reason, you think you've heard just a little from your heavenly Father, Eli says, Samuel, the way to respond is speak, for your servant listens. The word servant is important. Speak, Lord, because everything I have is at your disposal. I am your servant. I am freely in this moment, whenever I hear you speaking, whether I walked with you for years or it's the first time, it's all on the table because you're God and I'm not. What would you have from me? So here's how the story continues. Verse 10. Let's read together, please. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Do you want to know what fires your heavenly Father up? Whether you're just baby steps on a journey to know God and honor Him with your life, or you've been walking with Him forever. What fires God up is when you allow Eli to mentor you and you respond. When you just hear the twinge of his voice, when you say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." From a posture of my whole life, my whole self is all in and on the table. Speak. It's all for you. Speak, for your surrendered servant listens. This fires God up. For our tribe of Lake Forest, during this Love to the Tenth, 6 weeks, when we say, "I'm putting myself up on the table, God. I'm putting everything. All my stuff is yours. I acknowledge I'm not God of my life. You are. I'm acknowledging the highest treasure of my life is the good news of Jesus. So speak, Lord. I'm listening." When God hears that, He knows that we want relationship. He knows we're not just about religion, going through the motions. I do this and you do that. He knows that we're not approaching God in a magical sort of a way where we conceive of and we interact with a deity and we interact with Him in ways that He will set life up to suit my whims, proclivities, and comfort. He knows when I say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," that you are up for a free relationship between yourself as a free human being in all the power and beauty of that moment in history, interacting with a free, sovereign, powerful, loving God, and who knows what may come next in the interaction of these two free beings in this moment in time. But it's relationship. And there needs to be a level of silence for that to happen. And nothing fires God up more than this. Now, I don't know about you, but when I call some people, there's some people in my life, I won't mention any names, who just annoy the heck out of me when I have to call them. Because when you call them, you pick up the phone and you dial their number and you know what's going to happen. There will be one ring and then click, it goes straight over into voicemail no matter what. Because that's your friend who has the permanent do not disturb button on their phone, whether it's their office phone, their home phone, their work phone. And you know who you are. You don't ever answer anybody's phone. You're like, "I ain't got time for that, man." And it kind of bugs me. Some people, I wonder, they have super glue on the do not disturb button. I don't know. That sort of annoys me. But you know what? That's the way we often are with God, the Holy Spirit, when it comes to what He wants to speak into our life. We put the do not disturb button on. And we say, "Hey, God, don't disturb me, bro. I know what I'm doing. I got my task list. I'm on a roll. I've got my agenda. I've got my career path. I got my relational plans. I got my standard of living plans, my financial plans. I have my occupational, my entertainment, my spare time plans. I've even got some religious stuff junked up in the middle of there. I got it going. I'm in the zone, God. I know where I'm headed. So do not disturb me unless what you have to say will fit and hyperspeed my pre-existing plans and philosophies and proclivities," right? Now, rarely do we actually say, "Do not disturb me, God." But the way we live our life, when we hear the initiative-taking, gracious God in His love going, the way we respond by stopping in silence, either in a moment or creating pockets of silence regularly, and saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." Whether we do that or not is whether or not we're pushing the do not disturb button. Some of us are tempted to push do not disturb at Lake Forest when it comes to the love to the power of 10. But then, if we got the do not disturb button down, when we hit the wall all of a sudden, then we want to disturb God. "Hey, where are you? Where you been, man?" And we're trying to get that super glue off the do not disturb button as fast as we can. Right? But then there are others of you, and I love it when I see this, who are more like this with your Heavenly Father. You got the Bluetooth thing going on? Do you know any people in your life who are like all cool about Bluetooth? You're like, "Yo, man." Everywhere they go. You know, they're in a line. They're hanging out. They're making out with their girlfriend. They got the Bluetooth thing. They're like, "Hey, I am so important. At any moment, I could get a cellular phone call. Hey, cell phones have been around a long time. Just need to inform you. And just in case you think this looks cool, you know what Chris Rock calls it? An ear mullet. There you go. It's no longer cool. But there is one cool thing about this. Here's what I love when I see some of you. Some of you, some of you, this is you. Because what it demonstrates is, hey, look, whatever I'm doing, if somebody wants to get through to me, I'm ready. If you want to call me, speak, I'm listening. And there are people that you know spiritually, that's how they are in their relationship with God. No matter where they are, they have their little ear mulling in. And they're saying, God, you want to call me? I'm ready. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. That's a beautiful posture. And it's a choice you and I make every day. Will I take time in silence when I hear him speak, when I hear him take initiative? Will I create spaces daily to say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens, in the words of Eli and Samuel? Will I create that just small pocket of space of prayer and reflection and reading a little bit of scripture? You know, one of the reasons that I resist creating pockets of silence and prayer in my life daily is I'm afraid of what I might hear sometimes about one part of my life, about a consistent part of my life over the years, or who knows what I may hear. I'm not always up for that. And one of the reasons all of us are always talking, we don't like to take times where there's nothing else in our ears. We're afraid of what we might hear from God, the Holy Spirit, who is free and alive and taking us somewhere that may not fit into our plans. Some of us Lake Forest tribe members are afraid of what God may speak to us about radical generosity. We don't want to be ruled by the God of this age of possessions and money. We don't want the downside of that, but we're not sure we want God's prescription that it takes generosity radically to be free of the grip of materialism. And we're kind of afraid, and so we're tempted to push that do not disturb button instead of taking our church's witness to the good news of Jesus to the 10th power. And beware of the power of the primary false god. This is spiritual stuff, guys. Jesus says the primary false god in our culture is that of the grip of possessions and money. And that primary false god may afflict you with a spirit of defensiveness when it gets poked. It may afflict you with a critical spirit about anything and everything else in church, so I don't have to deal with the grip of the god of possessions in my life. And so when God starts speaking, instead of speak, Lord, your servant listens. Do not disturb, baby. Do not disturb. And so some of us may be wrestling with resisting going on the prayer journey in unity with the rest of our church for Love 10. This is a beautiful prayer journey we've been on. I challenge you, put the ear mullet back on, baby. It's okay, risk it. It's not cool, but it's effective. Put the ear mullet back on and go on the prayer journey with the rest of us. You can get one out there on your way out. Start it tomorrow. Just start it on Monday. Build some silence in. Put our extended prayer time that's coming up. We have an experience. I'll tell you about it later. For a 24-hour period. You don't have to be here for 24 hours. But for come experience it as a way to create some silence. Listen to God. So, but here you are. I'm proud of you. And me, for being here regularly to practice the art of listening in worship, to say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Because God speaks. God is not silent. How will we react when we hear him clearly? Well, the second way that we hear God clearly, first is in silence. Second is in spiritual community, Christ-centered community, I would say. Maybe in the midst of here on Sunday morning, just this week, someone called me and said, Mike, something that was said Sunday, and it wasn't something that I said, something that was said in the singing was God's direct, it was so clear. I have never, ever heard so clearly from God about what I was already praying to him about. Maybe that's happened to you. You know, for me, in the context of community, sometimes I'll be in our staff or elder Bible study or in our community group or with a friend of mine, and we're praying through our lives, and somebody will say something, and it's like the Red Sea parted, and I hear from the Lord. Maybe you've had that experience. And so this is what happens now next in the story. Samuel goes before God and says what Eli mentored him to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. And now Samuel hears something. And he hears something he doesn't like. We don't always hear. This is why we don't want to listen. Because God is free and sovereign. And he will speak what he speaks. He will speak what is love and is best. Not necessarily what we want to hear. And Samuel hears something he doesn't want to hear. And you know what he hears is something about the man he's in spiritual community with. God speaks to him about Eli. And what he says is, you know, Eli has been derelict in serving the nation of Israel as the spiritual leader, because he has set up his two sons to be the arch priests of the nation, And A, they don't worship and honor God. And B, they're using the position only for material gain. And so God says to Samuel, basically, Eli's run is done as the spiritual leader of Israel. God sometimes says things to us that we don't want to hear about ourselves or someone else. But Eli, because he's in community with Samuel and he knows that Samuel has a listening posture to his heavenly father, he wants to know, what did God say to you, Samuel? Because if I know what God's saying to you, it might help me know what God is saying to me, because we're in committed spiritual community together and God speaks that way. So here's how the story continues, verses 17 and 18. Let's read it together. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. This is a great scene if you picture it in your head. Samuel is probably a teenager. He could be as old as 20. He's the protege. And Eli, the mentor, is probably about 70 years old, and they're in community with each other. They are sharpening each other spiritually. Right? Eli is helping Samuel understand how to listen to God. And then Samuel hears from God, and he's got something that Eli needs to hear. I hear some of you who are brand new in your journey of following Jesus, and you're reluctant. You sometimes talk to me as if you have nothing to add to the community of believers. And you're afraid to speak up. And when you're studying the Bible in community or when you're in prayer, Samuel here, this is the first time he's heard from the Lord, and he has something that impacts Eli, the 70-year-old lifelong spiritual leader of the nation. If you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God resides in your spirit and wants to speak through your uniqueness into the people you're doing life together with. You matter so much, no matter how young or old you are on your spiritual journey. Don't be afraid to bring it and own your Holy Spirit conviction in community. We need each other to really know what God is saying to us. This is critical. My community group leader is a man named Steve Brum. He is the gatherer of one of the primary spiritual communities where I am helped to hear the voice of God. I'd like for you to meet Steve, because our elder nominating committee has suggested that he be reaffirmed and reactivated as an elder here in the next year. So I'd like for you to meet my community group leader, Steve Brum.
My name is Steve Brum, and I've been nominated to be reactivated as an elder at Lake Forest Church. My family and I have been coming to Lake Forest since 1999. I believe the second week that the church was open to the public at Kate's Skating Rink. The reason I say reactivated is because I served as an elder, an active elder, from 2003 to 2006. Many of you, I think, know my wife, Mary Ann, and know that I'm very lucky to have her. She's an incredible woman, clearly my better half. We have 4 children together. Richard is a freshman at the College of Charleston. Peter is a junior in high school, and Christina, otherwise known as Tina, is in 8th grade. I think most of you know, or a lot of you know, that our oldest son, Elliot, died in a car accident almost 2 years ago. There's no way to go through this kind of tragedy, this kind of pain, without asking yourself some really deep and questions about your faith. Why did this happen? Why did it happen to us? And Mary Ann, I think, asked a very important question early on, which was, why wouldn't we think something like this would happen to us? What about our belief in God and our faith would cause us to think we would be immune to this kind of this pain, this kind of suffering? And through this process, I think we found some answers. We're still in the process, and that's, I don't see that ever ending, frankly. I'd like to be able to go into this in more detail, but there's just really not time to cover it. But I have reached some conclusions I'd like to share with you. Number one, God is good. He's still good. He still loves us. He's always loved us. And and that doesn't change. The second is that Lake Forest is a church that cares. It cares about people. Through our darkest hour, the time that we were in the middle of our crisis and sins, the people of Lake Forest were God's arms and legs, and they showed us His love, and that is something we'll never forget. Finally, I guess I'd like to just tell you, I'm through, I guess, some of these things I've gone through, and just the age I'm at, I don't like to waste time on things that don't matter. And I believe that Lake Forest is important, and it matters, and it's worth investing my time in considering coming back on session. I can tell you that I wouldn't do that if I didn't think that Lake Forest mattered, that it was making a difference, and it is. It matters. I think if you haven't done so, I think you would find it's worth investing in yourself. It's worth investing time, resources. If you haven't done that, I think you'd be happy if you did. Thank you for listening to me this morning, and I hope you have a good worship service.
In addition to being my community group leader, Steve has taken the lead role in the design of our building upgrade. God speaks to us in silence and in Christian community. After the tragic death of their college sophomore-age son, two Thanksgivings ago, Steve and Marianne brought their questions about, now, who is God? Who do we understand Him to be? What is His love? They brought those questions honestly to our community group before they could even bring them to their Heavenly Father in prayer. And so God began to speak to all of us as we were quiet together for a season. We did not move to quick answers. As we examined the Scriptures together, and we continue to do so today, because most of our group has endured great pain as we journey through life together. And if it weren't for hearing God speak to us loud and clear through one another, each of us may have been tempted to give in to despair at some point. Instead, we loudly triumph that we are trophies of His grace and love, even in the midst of it. And as you and I walk through this life saying, should I put myself up on the table? Should I play hokey pokey and put my whole self in to follow Jesus and surrender everything to God? As we do this, and as we ask, is there anything you would want back, Lord? We need other people to help us. Because when we hear a part of their life that God is asking somebody else to give them in a fresh way to His Lordship, then we say, oh, wow, that's really similar to me. I hadn't thought of that before. Maybe God's telling me to do something like that. There was a woman who called me this 3 or 4 years ago on a Monday. A great way for a pastor to start a Monday. She called me and said, Mike, I'm not coming back to Lake Forest. I'm going to another church starting next week. I said, really? I like you. Well, that makes me sad. What's up? And she said, well, let me just be honest with you. At Lake Forest, through the singing and the teaching every week, I hear from God too powerfully, and I can't stand it. Seriously, I wrote this down after I got off the phone. The next thing she said was, I need to go to a church where I don't hear as strongly from God. End of quote. Now, I don't know. I tried to bless her and said, God love you. I hope you do great in your life. I hung up the phone and I thought, I wonder what part of her life she's hitting the do not disturb button and super gluing it down from her Heavenly Father she doesn't want to hear about, that she has to go to a dead church to worship in thought and intention, but not in action. I've been a pastor for 20 years now because I started when I was 11. And I was a precocious young child, just like Samuel. And I know that verbally, you and me together, we are all about, man, I just like Jesus said, I love God and I love other people. And verbally, we are all about that. But when you break that down into practical terms of our life behavior in a way that honors God, of financial decisions in a way that honor God and resource His mission in this world, people start hitting the do not disturb button and take the Bluetooth out of our ear. That's what we do for some of us. And we substitute for that a fake picture of grace that convinces us. Faith in Jesus is a belief and in my head thoughts only thing instead of real actions in this real world that actually love people and love God as our highest treasure. For some of us, it's when God begins speaking to us about sex. For some of us, it's when God begins speaking to us about money, and we've been through this for years. For some of us, it's when God begins to speak to us about choosing to live our life primarily about trifling things rather than the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ as my chief joy. We need silence, and we need each other to hear God speak, to keep the do not disturb button off. But we also need one more thing, the third thing. We need clear written words. Because the things I hear in silence, and the things I process in community with others, can be open to subjective misinterpretation unless they're triangulated with the third way that God speaks to us, which is in the Bible. God's infallible, powerful word for life change. I really do hope you've been doing the prayer and scripture journal prepared for our Love 10 journey by one of our ministry partners. You can get one on your way out today. It's really powerful stuff. I was working through the journal last week, and it's been helping me a lot. And I thought of this verse in Proverbs that says, "For those who are wise, we do not lean only on our own understanding." And that's what God has given us in the Bible, the Old and New Testament. He's basically said, you know, there's certain things that we all need to know about God, about His love, about your destiny, and about the most abundant life. We all need to know these things, and they're applicable to all people in all times. And so I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to be a silent God. I'll take initiative and give it to you out of my grace. Take them to the bank. They're objective. And don't lean on only on your own understanding of what you think I'm saying. Check it against the Bible as my perpetual voice to you. And so we share God's word on Sundays. We're doing it in community groups in a special way for Love 10, listening for God's voice in every area of our life. Well, so an example of how God's word speaks into us. This summer, I was preparing this very sermon. I was at Wild Dunes in South Carolina watching an alligator swim through a lagoon, trying to not do my work, because alligators are kind of fun to watch. And I ran across this really interesting story about King David that got me reengaged. And he had something intense happen in his life, and he wanted to worship God and give God something in thanks. And his way to do that in his day was to sacrifice an animal. Now, that's not the point of the story. Don't go home and sacrifice an animal unless you own a cat. And then maybe it's okay. God would... No, I'm... Cheap laugh, sorry. Last service I said I didn't mean that, and somebody yelled out, "Yes, you did." Don't do that. But David wanted to give something back sacrificially to honor God, and he saw some cows over here, and he went to Farmer Brown, who owned the cows. He said, "Hey, could I buy some of your cows for me to sacrifice in worship of God?" And the farmer's like, "Dude, you're David, King David. I know your reputation. Your money's no good with me. I'm going to give you these cows to sacrifice." And here's what David says. He goes, no. I insist on paying for it. And in 2 Samuel, this is recorded for us by Samuel later on in his life. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. Let's read this together. "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God offerings that cost me nothing." And what David is saying for here and is saying here and is preserved for us in God's written word for our building up. He says, when I put myself up on that, when I do hokey pokey with God and I finally get my whole self in because I'm so grateful for what He's done for me, that means I need to give of myself in a way that if it doesn't cost me anything, I'm not really giving myself. I need to give God my best. And when you're in a relationship with God, one of the things that you do, when you actually experience the extravagance of His grace through Jesus, you want to give Him your best out of gratitude. For Jesus giving His best for you, His very life and His blood to secure for you salvation through faith in Christ alone. And every time you give someone your best, it will cost you something every single time. I performed a wedding yesterday evening, Wes and Nicole. You know how beautiful a day it was yesterday? Oh, it was sunset. It was in the central square where we dedicated your children. In the central square of the Oakhurst neighborhood, the fountain back here, there's candles as the sun's going down. It was beautiful little children in white dresses and tuxedos. And as Nicole and Wes are pledging their love together, I'm thinking, you know what? for you two to give each other your best in love, it will cost you dearly. It will beautifully cost you dearly. What we tend to do, those of us who are married, is we tend to kind of think, well, honey, I just want to give you enough love and servanthood and sacrifice so that we're okay and you don't rock the boat any more than you are, and we can just kind of keep going on and keeping life as it is, and you don't like wig out on me. I'm going to give you just enough for that, but not so much that it hurts, that it costs, that I lay down my life for you. And yet that is where love is actually found and where love is actually built and received over years of sacrificial giving. And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. We say, Lord, I just want to give you enough. I want to tip you enough just to make sure that you don't like zap me with lightning the next time I go off when I miss a putt and use your name in vain. When in fact, to enjoy the true interactive free love relationship between you and your almighty eternal Heavenly Father, we must invest all. We must give what costs us much. And the return is the beautiful, abundant life that Jesus talks about. But it's a risk. It's a risk in marriage to love first and sacrificially. And it's a risk in walking with God to worship Him in a costly manner. And the return is what our hearts all long for in both settings. Let's pray and be quiet for a minute, please. Heavenly Father, may we, this week, we've got this tool that's just so easy. Lord, I'm the guy who so often avoids you in silence. I'm the guy who avoids actually putting my real life out there in community with the people who know me well. I'm the guy who avoids bringing myself under the influence of your word, reading it daily and in study with others. God, give each of us the riskiness as we contemplate how extravagant your riches have been poured out for us through the blood of your Son, Jesus, to secure for us salvation. And some of us just say yes to that even now for the first time. And as we see the extravagance of your riches sacrificed for us, Lord, may we take risk and pour ourselves back out for you. Just in setting aside silence to listen, in this week following the prayer journey, with those few minutes to say, speak, your servant listens. And Lord, would you just reveal to us each, specifically, when it comes to Love 10, if we're part of Lake Forest, what is it you're calling us that's on the table to give back to you to further your kingdom? Lord, all of us in that part of our life where we've been pushing the do not disturb button, give us the faith and the power through your Holy Spirit to take the do not disturb off and deal with you. And receive your grace, your healing power, and your love, and then your more abundant life as we begin to act on what we hear in that part of our life. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.